Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, we're on. So exciting.
Where's my mic?
So exciting to be back. Oh, I forgot. No, you're sitting at the wrong table.
You know what? It's all one table, Eddie.
No, that's your... See, there's two tables.
Yeah, see, the easiest thing is just to swipe all of them.
Yeah, well, you're at the wrong... No, because then I turn on our guest mic, and then if she breathes or sneezes...
We have two special guests tonight.
We do have special guests in the house. Two special guests.
One of them I can swear in front of, and one of them I cannot.
Actually, you actually swear in front of him.
Really? No.
Yeah. This last weekend I was in Tucson performing, and he snuck into the showroom and watched the entire 45-minute set.
He's like, Daddy, he's full of bad words.
Yes. There's some...
Say what?
Yeah, no, I was getting direction from...
You still didn't have my mic on?
Probably not.
Luckily,
it sounded like it was
luckily
on.
Luckily, I'm projecting.
I don't know. I'm just going to turn them all on. They're all on. All
See,
the microphones
that's the
are
easiest,
on.
That's the easiest thing, and they're all on.
Anyway, right, so yeah.
Right. So you found out that... Daddy swears like a sailor.
Oh, like a sailor in a whorehouse.
Was he just like, oh my god?
Well, he just asked. He has a lot of questions.
Well, what were the questions?
What is?
He's smart. He's putting the headphones on. I wonder if he's listening.
No, those are noise canceling, so he has no idea what's going on.
You know, I like his sweater shirt. What is that? A sweatshirt? Or
Chewbacca.
Sweater?
Pull the hood up.
I know.
Colton.
What?
There we go.
Love it. Oh, my God. That is awesome.
Colton, you want to come talk in the microphone? Say hi.
Colton, say what's up. We always talk about you on the show. How are you, buddy?
Good.
How old are you?
Six.
Six. Like six. I'm 37. I'm way older than you. He's like, man, that is crazy. He's not interested.
I throw him Hershey Kisses to keep him distracted. It's like a dog with treats.
Well, you learned well with Buster.
Yeah.
How was your New Year's? You went, like, the East Coast?
I was back east visiting my folks. Nothing. You went to Vegas, right?
Went to Vegas. Saw Bruno Mars. It was nuts.
No, really? Where?
Awesome. Have you ever seen him perform?
No, I don't.
Dude,
plus, it's Pearl Jam. I've never seen him.
No, man.
Or Social Distortion.
He's really, really good. He's, like, the real deal. He is really, like, the real deal.
Yeah.
Band is killing. He was, like, quoting Lauryn Hill. He was playing James Brown. He was playing
Where'd you see him at?
Old soul tunes at the Cosmopolitan. I saw him once about 6 months ago, and he just blew my mind. So when I saw that he was playing again for New Year's, I was like, I gotta go. But Vegas was so crazy. Like, they, you know, have you ever been to Vegas in New Year's?
No.
All right, they shut off Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah.
So you can't go, like, across the street into that hotel that's across the street. You have to go around the entire hotel to find a little opening to get into that.
So can you just walk across the street?
Like,
what do you
the
mean
street,
they shut it
the,
off?
They shut down the street so people can walk up and down the strip. And people are drinking and partying.
But you can't walk across the street?
Yeah, they used to be able to, but now they have barricades and fences. So they have these designated openings where you can...
Oh, so it's not a free-for-all, just walk anywhere you want.
It is a free-for-all, except to get into the casinos. Then it's like you have to go into these little openings and then go through all these barricades. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. So to go across the street took us like 40 minutes. So we missed half the show, but that's just Vegas on New Year's Eve. I expected it, and you know, it took me 6 hours to get there.
You're a braver man than me. Did you go? I've heard if you go Route 66, it's not as long.
You know what? You have to get to Barstow, though.
Oh, then it's...
I was trying to do that on the way home, but I realized the best way to come home if you're stuck in traffic like that is actually go up to Laughlin and then come back. I've learned the errors of my ways.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Well, I haven't had an 8-hour drive to Vegas in maybe 10 years.
Ugh.
And it was like, I'm going to kick you in the butt, right? I'm going to remind you why You should leave maybe a couple days later.
Yeah, buddy.
But we took Otis. We took Otis to Vegas.
I saw the pictures.
It's close, Colton. Colton's learning.
So.
Slowly.
Slowly.
You had a good New Year's?
Oh,
yeah, uneventful. You made it.
Did he stay up till midnight?
Dad, yeah, he did.
Dad, I was like...
Right, buddy, we're doing a show.
He doesn't care. He's like, wait a minute.
Do you have anything important you want to tell the
world? You want to wish Wake Up Hollywood listeners Happy New Year? Do you want to tell them, like, may the force be with you? Mm-mm. Not even that? He's wearing a Wookiee outfit.
Yeah.
Dude,
tough. You want to tell anybody what you got for Christmas?
I got the Lego Star Destroyer and the Indiana Jones Lego that they
nice!
Yeah, all right. Go back to your game.
Well, Santa good was stuff. Good to him, it sounds like.
Really good to him.
You're like,
Santa
too good.
Santa nailed it with me.
Yeah. Santa nailed it. Santa nailed it with him.
He should be careful how he says that.
Santa nailed him.
Well, Santa good to you? Or were you on his naughty list?
When you're at my age and you have a kid, it's like...
You're like, nah. You're like, I'll take some socks.
I think I got a iPhone cover.
Oh,
like
that's cool.
Like a band. Like a $30.
Nice. Very exciting.
Protective band for my iWatch.
I got espresso cup. I actually bought some guitars.
Oh, nice.
That was my big thing. I was saving and saving and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then I was like, booyah, let's do this. So I was very excited.
How expensive are guitars?
Oh, man. They're so much. They're too much.
Like,
but they're so worth it. They're so
like
worth it.
Thousands of dollars?
Oh, yeah. Thousands of dollars. But I have, I shouldn't say the company that I get my Guitar Center discount. But I get a great discount from them. So it definitely saves. So I got two guitars for the price of one. Shh.
Well, you just, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Your microphone is on.
Well, anyways. Looks like our special guest is here, Sophie Levine.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Sophie, I've been wanting to get you on the show ever since I heard you sing because you are a badass.
Aww.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. She was in your songwriting. She took one of your songwriting
classes. Yeah,
you were a guest teacher.
I was a guest teacher at the songwriting school
in
Los Angeles.
An amazing place. I love it there.
It is.
Where is that located?
Burbank.
Okay.
You're not from Burbank. Are you from Burbank?
I'm from Studio City.
Studio City.
You're actually from Studio City? Like, that's your hometown?
Yes.
Are you the only one? That's amazing. I've never met anyone from Studio City.
It's rare to meet LA born and raised people now.
That's great. Well, my son and you.
Yeah, your son is, but you aren't.
I'm not.
Yeah. Neither is your wife.
No.
Actually, I'm not either, but I've been here my whole life.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, let's talk about you. Let's not talk about us.
Yeah, we know enough about us.
So, Sophie, let's just jump into it. Like, what got you into music? What made you want to be a singer-songwriter? What made you want to sing?
Oh, man. I've been singing and writing since I can remember. My parents are both musicians. They actually met in a disco band.
That's awesome.
they were, like, the people who played in hotels at, like, 4 in the morning, and that's how I met.
That was a wild
your
lifestyle.
Your parents were definitely partiers.
Oh, yeah.
Cocaine everywhere.
I'm sure your dad and mom had some outrageous outfits.
Oh, you have no idea.
That were just, like, insane.
They both had afros at one point.
Oh, my God. Your parents are my heroes. I know. I'm applauding that. Just because our studio audience loves afros. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
You're like, I wish I could go back in time and see that.
I know. Pictures aren't enough.
They're not. So you were influenced by your parents. Then what were they playing at the house?
All oldies. A lot of disco, a lot of Motown. That's still what I listen to today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still kind of stuck in what they showed me when I was a kid. And ever since then, I've just been obsessed with music. I don't know. I didn't really know I was going to get into songwriting until probably after high school. At first, I was into musical theater. I applied for musical theater when I was applying to colleges. And then I didn't have my keyboard with me. And I was just like, how am I existing without writing? So I
that's amazing.
I just applied to Berklee College of Music on a whim and changed my path.
And did you apply for songwriting or did you apply for musical theater?
I applied for songwriting.
Wow. That's crazy. That's amazing. I wish I knew that I wanted to be a songwriter at that age, but it kind of just like, it calls on you.
Yeah, definitely. Like when you can't do it, it calls on you.
Yeah, especially when you're not even having access to instruments. But
yeah.
Sometimes that's what good friends are for, right?
It's like, yeah.
What are you doing with that guitar or piano? And he's like, no, I learned to tell jokes.
Mm.
I learned how to be the class clown and then realized.
I made people laugh at me to make myself feel good. That's all.
So what were you writing or what were you playing when you started to want to be a songwriter?
Always piano. I mean, I would always just kind of write about what was going on in my life. It was always my outlet. I never really had a diary or anything. It was always
songwriting.
Yeah, it is my diary, exactly.
It's your therapist.
And yeah, that's how it still is.
Yeah, me too.
Hasn't really changed.
That's what makes it so great. It's like you can get your emotions out in a really positive way, you know?
Yeah. Like exactly.
With piano players, do you have an actual real piano at home?
I do. I have a real piano, and then I have an electric piano.
Right. Is that the one we're seeing right now?
No, this is my third. This
so you
is
have
my
three
keyboard.
Pianos.
Yeah,
this is
a
backup piano.
This is my movable, portable piano.
But you have a real big wooden piano, I would
have. Yes.
A huge, heavy
Very
piano.
Good, Eddie.
Right. And then you have... What's the other one? Because this one, the one that I'm looking at, is huge.
Yeah, this one's huge. The other one is...
Is bigger than that?
Is bigger than that and kind of looks like a normal piano, but it's electric.
Okay.
What is it, if you don't
mind
me asking?
It's a Roland.
Okay, okay.
I actually won it in an auction. So
that's amazing.
I know.
The universe was like, you need this.
Yeah, exactly.
You need this now.
But for a piano player, like, that's got to be hard. Like, you have to, like, base where you... What apartment you're going to live in based on where you can put a piano, right?
But or it's your house small in. Enough that you can.
But she has like a real big wooden one.
Oh, you can't take
oh,
that.
Oh, no,
everywhere.
I can't take that with me.
But I've taken mine everywhere I've moved, and it is a pain.
I would imagine. That would suck balls.
I got to tell you, I've moved my piano probably 3 times. I'm going to give a shout out. Benny's Piano Movers, they're the only ones.
But like with any other instrument a musician plays, you can kind of accommodate your life. Mm-hmm. It kind of fits into your life. But like a piano is.
No, you need a keyboard.
Yeah.
That's what makes it. I wonder what piano players did. Like, most venues probably just had pianos. But
yeah, but, like, is there a big difference between a real piano and a keyboard? Like, when you play
it. Answer that. What do you think? I was just about to ask you that.
I mean, the quality of sound is definitely better on a real piano.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of, I don't think I'd be willing to carry a real piano.
But I'm just saying, like, is it, like, does it affect, like, as a musician, you really are cognizant of sound.
Yeah.
And does that bother you when you have to play an electric keyboard as opposed to a real piano?
That's a good question,
most
Eddie.
Of the time.
Stealing your water, by the way.
Because most musicians, if they're guitar players, they have their guitar or a saxophone.
Right.
They have their instrument of choice with them at all times.
I think when I'm writing, I prefer to write on the real piano just because it, I don't know, it inspires me a little more. It sounds
better.
It definitely feels better. But in terms of performing, I mean, I love this keyboard. I'm like attached to it for some reason. And I love my electric piano. So it doesn't make a huge difference to me, but when I'm writing, I definitely prefer my actual piano.
Well, the one advantage, too, it's like when you play a piano, that's all you're playing. When you play a keyboard, there's like hundreds of instruments that you
exactly.
can pretty much access. But it just, like for me, for a long time, I was like, I just
But
can't.
It's all digital.
I won't play
it's
keyboards.
Electric music.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not the same. But
it's not the same.
Now they've gotten super close where the sounds are really close to a real piano. The feel, they even have weighted keys.
Yeah, these are weighted.
So that makes a huge difference. But for a long time I was like, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. But then it's like you
don't have a choice.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's like you end up just having to do it, you know? But now the piano sounds are so much better. Like in the 80s, I wonder what, man, that must have been rough for a jazz pianist that had to play like an 80s keyboard.
You couldn't do it. Like,
must have been rough. Must have been rough. Yeah. See, Eddie, we're blessed.
Yeah.
Sophie, we're blessed.
We're blessed.
All right, so who was like one of the biggest influences for you as a songwriter?
I always say Simon and Garfunkel. They're always
oh,
the first
high
people
five.
That come to mind.
High five. I grew up with that stuff.
Yeah, they're my absolute favorite, and they just kind of got me into the singer-songwriter world, and I love the lyrics. That's always kind of what pulled me in. And yeah, singer-songwriters like that. I love Fiona Apple. I love Regina Spektor.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Both of them amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So all that.
You like real musicians. I like that.
I do like real musicians.
You know, so you're a youngin'. You are a youngin'.
I am. I'm 22.
So you must see, I mean, you are influenced by some heavy hitters. But in the pop world right now, there's very few of those like heavy hitters to me, like on that level. Is that kind of... I mean, I'm putting you on the spot just because I've been thinking about this all day today. It's so night and day. Like, a Taylor Swift to me is a good artist.
Yeah.
But it's not like a heavy hitter, you know?
Yeah. So, what are you asking? Well,
what's your question?
Like, my question is, does it frustrate you? Like, because you obviously are influenced by great songwriters, and you are a great songwriter.
Oh, thank you.
So, when you see somebody that, you know is not as good as maybe somebody that you've seen at a venue, or you've seen... I've seen street performers that I'm like, man, this person just like lives this, and it's just you can feel this in a much deeper way. Like in your generation, like does it make an impact for you?
I think I don't know. I guess it does frustrate me that I have some friends you know, I try to show them things that I'm interested in. They're like, ugh, like, this is so boring, you know? And I'm just like, what? It's not boring.
There's a disconnect.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel that. I feel that with a lot of people in the younger generation. There's a disconnect. Like, a Pearl Jam. Eddie loves Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite bands as well. If you showed Pearl Jam to somebody younger, they'd be like, nah, this is, I don't feel this.
Well, they like EDM and crap.
Well,
like
it's not just, even young rockers, they'll associate with the Foo Fighters, but they won't necessarily
there would
associate.
Be no Foo Fighters.
I know. There was no Pearl Jam. This is what is frustrating for me.
And there'd literally be no Foo Fighters if there was no Nirvana. There would actually literally be no Foo Fighters.
I think you said Foo Fighters.
that's kind of how I feel.
Anyways, let's, you know, before we get crazy, let's jump into you just doing something live for us. What are you going to play for us live?
I'm going to play first a song called Love You Now. I brought all these to workshop. But,
all right.
Yeah. Okay. If we go to the rooftop of the bar downtown, will you want me? Will you toss me? If we see all the beauty with their golden pearls, will you leave me? Will you keep me? And if the feeling's overwhelming, can I trust your hand to pull me off the edge? I won't listen to the people who say that love will stone you till you're dead. I wanna love you now, love you now. I wanna love you now, love you now.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Hold on. We're plugging things in left and right.
There we go. I think for the first minute of that song, there was no keyboard.
Well, that was my fault.
You could hear it through the microphone. Well, Nikhil didn't do his job.
Well, hey, that's true. Well, it's because, you know,
he's too busy with his iPad.
No, that's not true. I don't know what's going on with this.
Colton, did you like that song?
Colton asked for the headphones.
Yeah, he wanted to hear it.
Ooh.
He was like, yeah.
I want to hear that.
Colton's my
name. Studio audience, a little late on the response. It was there.
It was definitely
that
there.
Sounded amazing. I didn't want to interrupt you. That was the problem. Like, you started, and then I was like, shit, this isn't in. And then and I was like, I was afraid it was just going to pop, like this loud pop. But Ronnie came in. She's like, you need to put her in. I'm like, okay.
No one hears this. No one's hearing this.
I thought it was going to pop. So my mistake. But, dude, that was insane.
Oh, thank
you. So when did you write that? And what did you write it about?
I wrote that, I actually wrote that when I first started teaching myself guitar, and I mean, I suck at guitar, I'm not good at guitar, but I kind of had a really interesting writing experience.
You got plenty of time.
I had an interesting writing experience because I don't know, it's just, different, totally different things come to me when I'm playing a different instrument, and I had never really experienced that before. So I wrote it about what I did the night before, and I wrote it in like 30 minutes. It was one of those.
Amazing. Sometimes songs come to you like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, do jokes come to you like that? Like sometimes it's like, boom.
Some.
Sometimes it's a painful process.
And other
process.
Times you work and work and work, and it still never works.
Yeah, exactly. You hope for those where it just comes out.
Well, that's what makes you love it too, especially when they come easy. In the beginning, it's like, oh yeah, this is great. Oh yeah, this is awesome. Beautiful. Like, I mean, it's real. That's what I like about your songwriting. It's,
thank you.
You got a great voice, got a great like sense of music. So you went to Berklee.
I did.
And did you stay there for the whole period?
No.
I think you left, right?
I did. I was there for 2 years and then I left.
That's hard to get into.
Most people leave after 1 year. So how many of you are one of these? Just
leave. Why do people leave?
I'm going to let her answer first and then I'll tell you what my friends have told me. Go ahead.
People leave because, I left because, I don't know.
Because it's like one of the most renowned music schools.
Yeah.
It is. A lot of people there aren't really meant for a school setting. I think that's a big problem, is they just want to be playing out, and they feel like they're kind of being held back by being at Berklee, which isn't necessarily true, but that's just how artists tend to feel sometimes. Yeah. So I know that's a big reason why people left. But a lot of my friends stayed all 4 years and graduated and had a great experience.
Really?
Yeah, but I know there's only like a 40% graduation rate or something like that. It's
actually
kind of
a lot less than that.
A lot less?
It's usually like around 20 to 30%.
Then how do they stay functioning as a school?
Because the tuition's so high and it's so well known and renowned that people apply, so they count on people just, and there is about a third of the class that stays on. Even in my music school,
do people drop out because it's that difficult, or is it just not fulfilling people?
I think music schools are very difficult because it kills something that's very beautiful and something that is so passionate amongst the students. Like there's so much passion for music amongst the students, and then they break it down in a way that it's not always enjoyable. I mean, did you get that feeling?
That was my issue, is that I play by ear, and so a lot of the classes weren't really catered to what I needed as a songwriter. And I mean, the songwriting school is just the perfect place for me because I don't have to worry about what I know factually, what I know about theory. I just play from my heart, and like it's all about the songwriting and all about the end product.
That's what I love about
not really about how you get there.
I mean, I've taught at many schools and I've done master classes and stuff, and I went through USC's music department, and I graduated, and it was hell for me to finish because it just killed something I loved so much.
Yeah.
And it's like they make you take classes that, like, I had to study 6 months of my schooling on Gregorian chant. I will never use Gregorian chant in my life, but they make you,
6 months?
Yeah. I mean, 6 months, and they, this was a test, for example. They give you, and I had tapes at the time, they give you tapes of Gregorian chant that you're listening to probably 40, 50 Gregorian chants, all right? They all sound the same, and then they start one of them in the middle, and it's an essay question. So you're like,
Trying to weed people out? Is that what they're trying to do?
They do that a little bit, but they want you to just pay attention to detail. And meanwhile, you're like trying to figure out life. You're trying to figure out like relationships growing up. You're trying to figure out your instrument, your passion, your purpose, all those things. He's way far away from that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people leave after a year because of the same things that you just said. And also it's like they realize that a working musician is somebody that's out there playing and gigging, and music schools are expensive. They're, very expensive for what people pay for it.
Yeah.
And they could be spending that on their own career, and that's why a lot of people I know left.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know people that graduated. I know a lot of people that left and went to a different school. It's a delicate issue. But you're right about the songwriting school. It's a very proactive environment, very creative environment.
Yeah, so nurturing.
That's important.
It's so important, especially for someone like me. I don't do very well in a competitive environment. It kind of pushes me down instead of raises me up. And the songwriting school is just the perfect place.
It's iron sharpens iron. That's what attracted me to it. And like all the writers are great.
Yeah, everybody's amazing.
And everybody has a chance to flourish. I mean, that's the way a music school should be. But it's, there's a lot of corporations and all this stuff. Anyways, we won't get into that. All right, so you've been working on your record. How long have you been working? Months, right?
Yeah, I started recording in July. At first, I was just going to record just very simple demos of my songs just to pitch. But then I got extremely attached to what I was doing. I couldn't just do that. So I was like, I'm going to do a whole project.
It's a rush, isn't it?
I couldn't stop.
It's the best. It's the best.
Yeah.
And so did you finish, you just finished it?
I finished it like a month and a half ago, yeah.
Two. Kudos. How many songs are there?
Four.
Okay. So let's play something from it. We got a couple tracks, right? What do you want to play first? Your choice.
Let's play Make Me Feel first.
Make Me Feel? Here we go. Make Me Feel.
Wide awake, I am dreaming. Holding on to a feeling. You best believe I ain't sleeping. With all the memories I'm keeping.
I mean, come on! That was awesome. Woo. I'm gonna give you a huge compliment. All right. Sometimes we have musical guests on this show, and sometimes they bring in some music, and sometimes it doesn't give me chills. And that totally gave me chills.
Thank you.
Honest to God, you're real. You know,
Colton, did you like that music?
Colton, you loving the music?
Oh my gosh.
Colton asked for headphones. He was like, can I hear? While you were playing, he was like, can I hear? And now he's hooked.
And he kept the headphones on.
I know. He's playing a video game, but he's listening to you.
He's choosing not to listen to Angry Birds as he's playing it. But he's choosing to listen to your music while he plays Angry Birds.
Yes. Well, before I forget, like, where can people find you?
I have a Facebook page, Facebook music page. It's facebook.com/SophieAnnLevine.
I want you to spell it out because a lot of people are dumb.
All right.
Everybody. Most people are dumb.
Most people are dumb. I realized that while I was driving over here. But go ahead. Spell it out like you, like everybody's a first grader.
All right. S-O-P-H-I-E-A-N-N-L-E-V-I-N-E.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
And I want you to be playing out. I know you have no shows booked right now.
Yeah.
But you should be playing out because of your magnificence.
Thank you.
And I want to get to some more of your music because the music speaks for itself. So let's have you play something else live.
Awesome.
What are you going to play us?
I'm going to play a song called The Key. I'm pretty sure, Nikhil, you've heard this song a few times at workshop.
It's great.
Thank you.
Happy to hear it again.
All right. Are we all set?
Yeah, we're all set.
Cool. Oh. I'm shedding like old skin.
Clapped.
Dude, that's such a heavy, beautiful song.
Thank you so much.
Still gives me chills. I've heard it tons. I've heard it, I think, 3 times.
Yeah.
And it's still awesome. I mean,
thank you so much.
And I hear how it's evolved too. It's like you've done little changes.
Yeah.
I hear it in your left hand. I hear things very cool. Very
nice. Thank you.
And he's like, what are you talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about. It just sounded good. That's all I know.
That's awesome. No, it's just breathtaking music. I mean,
thank you so much.
This is cinematic. It's real. It's beautiful. It's thought-provoking. It's heartfelt. That's what it's about.
Oh my god!
I was just thinking, honestly, I'm going to give you another compliment. Like, this is what this show's about. Like, showcasing artists like yourself. Because honestly, it would be such a long show if it wasn't fulfilling on that level. I mean, I'm sure you would agree. It's like, when you can showcase artists.
Yeah, but I just had to talk to you for an hour. Suck balls.
That's enough, Eddie.
Now.
That's really enough. Don't let me whip out the big guns, buddy.
Oh, don't do it.
All right.
I want those sounds in my everyday life.
No, you don't.
See?
No, you don't.
See?
I do.
She's been bit by the bug. It's on the iPad soundboard. Just
squash that bug.
That's happening.
Eddie is like my additional older brother that I can antagonize with these sounds.
Sound effects are so
anyways,
terrible.
I want to get to another one of your songs, but before we do that, tell me, like, you know, you're out there playing in a very different musical environment than when I was playing. Not that I'm that much older than you, but things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Albums are not selling like they used to. There's so much stuff like Spotify and Pandora that give the illusion that are, you know, helping musicians in some ways. But to me, I'm like, nah, none of that stuff is helping. It's just labels are making money and the artists aren't. Mm-hmm. So when you see this climate, tell me what inspires you to keep creating and making music and, you know, getting out there and playing.
I don't know. I think most of it is just because I didn't start making music to try to make it in any way. So that's never been my driving force, and I don't think it ever will be. So that's never really what's motivating me, is whether I'm making steps forward. It's just doing the music.
But the funny thing is, like, it's artists like you that should be doing it.
Right.
You know, there's so, I know Eddie knows what I'm talking about. But there's so many artists that clog the system a little bit. Mm-hmm. That just, I mean, I'll see them on stage. It's like, I even see, like, established artists. It's like, there's a lot of bands or songwriters that I only need to see once. And then there's artists and songwriters or bands that I need to see throughout my life as much as possible. Because mm-hmm. every time I leave, it makes me go home and practice or write or just be inspired or just believe that my life was impacted in some positive way.
Right.
So the biggest thing I want to tell you is, like, you need to get out there and play.
Thank
because
you so much.
Your music is incredible. Your voice is incredible. Your playing is incredible. Your writing is incredible. Like, it's just awesome. It's so polished and so awesome. And I'm not just saying that.
Thank you
right,
so
Eddie?
Much.
Yeah. He knows.
That's
he
good.
Knows. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, that was cool. All right, let's go. Let's move on.
That's good.
You've even moved Eddie to possibly comb his hair for the next show. Just kidding.
It's just dirty and greasy, so it's laying down.
No, but it's really intense. It's intense music. So where can people find your album? The album is called...
It does not have a name yet.
I like it.
That's a perfect name.
It's called It Does Not Have a Name Yet.
It does not have a name yet.
All right. That's
and
okay.
I have not released it yet. I'm waiting for the right time. But I will post about it on my Facebook
page. There you go.
Page.
Waiting for the right time. There's yeah. There you go.
There you go.
That's also something I'm
waiting
learning
for
about.
The moment.
Exactly.
EP.
It's all new to me.
Or just call it This.
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 Listen to this now. How about that? No bullshit. Let's play something else from your record.
Great. The next one's called Howling.
Howling. Here we
Eddie,
go.
How many songs do I usually play off a record?
Three tops.
No.
Two.
Two.
One.
Live.
What do you want me to say?
One. One.
One
from an album.
One and then two live performances two live. Usually.
But there's a few that I push for two, so you are one of the few.
Six. Aww. We usually play six. Usually the whole show is the album.
He's lying just to make me feel better.
This is the least amount of songs we've ever. I hear it's Howling.
Stolen, and I can't.
Nice, very nice. This is what I was thinking during that whole song. I almost wanted to hold hands with you, Eddie. Almost. Then I realized I'm like, I don't
know. It would take more than a song. Take some money. Money would have to be involved. Maybe some drugs or alcohol.
Maybe. Come on. My hands are definitely clean. Come on.
Probably
come
a gun. There'd have to be a gun involved.
Don't make me play the sound clip. It's just within reach. So let me ask you this. So now that your songs are done, mm-hmm. What was the process like? What was the recording process like from beginning to end? Now that you're out of it, because it is like you're in this little black hole of a moment in your life that you'll never go through again in the same way. Mm-hmm. This is your first record. Now that you're out of it, tell us what it was like.
I really loved every second of it. I mean, there were days where I would go in and I would just be like, I hate all of this, and it would be so frustrating and I just wouldn't want to do anything. But most of the time it was just so exciting to me because I'd never done it before. I was learning about how to engineer, and it was a huge learning process. And I mean, I would do it all again. It's so much fun.
It's the best.
Yeah, it really is.
But it kicks you in the ass sometimes.
It does.
And then sometimes it gives you moments you're like, I'm pretty good at this. Every artist has those moments like, oh my God, I'm learning. Oh my God, this is hard. Oh my God, I'm pretty good at this. And then you're like, wait, that voice can't be too loud because I want to stay learning. I want to stay humble.
And then it repeats itself over and over again.
Eddie's like, I am great.
I suck.
I am so good.
I suck. I'm great. I'm great. I suck.
What was the hardest thing that you had to do in the studio? Whether it was like doing the vocals, whether it was figuring out production, what was the biggest obstacle?
I think the biggest obstacle for me was to stop obsessing over the vocals. Because I wanted them to be perfect because my ear is just, like, super, super sensitive. And if anything is slightly flat or sharp, it drives me insane. So I just spent way too much time on it. And then, like, you know, like, the more you sing takes, it's just the more frustrating it gets. And then everything starts to sound the same. And you just start to want to die. But
I got to tell you something. You know the Whitney Houston song, the Bodyguard soundtrack? Mm-hmm. You know? They did 163 mixes of the song.
Oh
okay.
God.
I Will Always Love You, that one?
Yeah, yeah. And they made her do like a lot of takes. Do you know which mix they used?
The first one?
The third one.
The third one. The third oh my
one.
Gosh.
The third one. They did 163 takes. 163 mixes. They did a lot of takes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like that's what you learn like as you keep going. Like you're going to throw down whatever you throw down.
Yeah.
And it's going to be you. And that's the most important part. Like I hear you when I hear this.
That's awesome.
So all your hard work has paid off.
That's awesome.
But the other thing, the reason I ask you this question is we bring a lot of artists. Like, one of the fun things about this show is we bring comedians, songwriters, filmmakers, and they're all at these different stages. Some mm-hmm. have been doing it for 15 years, some even longer, some 5 years, some newbies, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's that experience that you just went through, you have to savor.
Yeah.
And remember it. And mm-hmm. it's like, you learn from it, but you also, like, it's the process that you have to enjoy, you know, like each step. So that's why I had to ask you that, just to make sure you're like always. Are you giving me a peace sign?
Yeah, I'm saying peace out, dude. I'm saying, get two minutes.
You're interrupting my moment.
We got
my
2 minutes.
Moment,
oh, like you do every time with the soundboard of me? Just like that?
Yeah. Easy. Studio audience.
Shut up, studio
audience.
He's
just kidding.
No more free tickets. What?
No, but that's one thing. Have you thought about what you want to do for your next record? Or are you just like not even thinking like that? You're like, I'm relieved it's done.
I mean, I don't know. I'm writing all the time. I haven't really thought about a record per se, but I mean, I'm always writing. I'm always thinking about different things I could do with my writing. Not necessarily always for me. I'm totally open to writing for other people. I just want to keep writing all the time.
Well, I'm looking forward to you telling us someday soon when you're going to do a CD release party.
Yes.
I mean, in the next 6 months, maybe. Mm. And I hope to see you playing all over the country. I hope to see you at festivals. I'm definitely going to help nurture your career with whatever help I can. Eddie will just be making fart noises with his armpits.
That's fine.
That was my mouth.
Or his mouth.
That was my mouth.
But anyways, Sophie, it was such a pleasure to have
you
on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'd love to have you back, so we'll have you back in, you know, some time.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Eddie, it's great to have you
here,
man.
It's been a while.
I missed you.
I'm back now.
You know? You're back for good.
For a while.
You know, I was a little empty in the heart.
I bet you were.
But
I bet you were.
I feel complete. I feel like we're Voltron again.
Almost.
Almost. Well, on behalf of Sophie Levine, one more time, where can people find your music?
Facebook.com/Sophie Ann Levine.
You can spell it out one more time. People are dumb.
Super dumb.
SophieAnnLevine.
Get her music, find her, Eddie. I love you.
Love you too. Bye, everybody.